Chicago, springtime is finally knocking on your door. The snow and ice may be gone, but are you ready to step out in style yet? It's time to make over your ride at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the true glam team of SUVs. If you're thinking about springing forward into a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to see which one puts the spring in your step. Need the power and durability of a Silverado, the all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer, the spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or the sporty, city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to shine like the new spring sun. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate your nearest Chevy dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, I'm sure you're not sick of this. I got to talk about it, though, because I've got my thoughts on it, but I want to hear from you who knew how it came about, the context it was put in, if it was out of context, if it was perfectly in context. Juan Soto's comment.
Yep.
How'd it come about and what was actually said? I want to get your take, yes. And I'll give you on the ground if a player in my clubhouse has that reaction. Okay, go ahead.
I'd be interested to hear that. So I'll tell you how it went down. I did a lot of working and thinking about this last week because it was a big story in New York, although I was not with the Mets in Minnesota where it was said. I was with the Yankees home playing the Royals, but that gave me really interesting perspective too, talking to Aaron and talking to Aaron Judge about this, but I'll get to that. Basically, for your listeners that weren't following the blow-by-blow on this, Mike Puma of the New York Post, longtime beat reporter, a competitor of mine, but respectable, you know, does a good job, been on the beat a long time, asked Soto in Minnesota about the difference between batting with Judge, is his lineup protection Judge behind him versus not, right? And Soto gave an accurate analytical answer saying, well, it's a little different. I'm being pitched a little differently. I'm being walked a little bit more. This was true. And, you know, Soto tends to, which I really appreciate, answer a baseball question with a baseball answer. I did a story with him in spring training, where he broke down every pitch of that at bat in Cleveland against Hunter Gaddis, where he hit the home run since the Yankees were the World Series, basically. He has great recall and intelligence about the game. So he's answering Puma's question in a baseball way. However, of course, it gets played in terms of headline and opinion of like, oh, is he taking a shot at Alonso? Is he saying he misses the Yankees? In New York, there's a lot of like speculative fallout for stuff like that. So that became a story. I defended Soto saying, hey, look, if we're going to ask him questions and he answers them, we shouldn't be ripping him for it. He just gave an honest answer. And I can tell you, Brett, and now I want to ask your opinion about it. But in terms of the potential fallout in his clubhouse with Alonso, what's more important to Pete Alonso is that Soto looked Steve Cohen in the eye before he signed with the Mets and said, if I'm signing here, I want Pete Alonso. I want that lineup protection. He lobbied for it after he signed. Scott Boras continued. They're both Boras clients. It's convenient. I get it. But Boras continued to tell Cohen, it's important to Juan that you sign Pete, that you bring Pete back. So that's what means more to Alonso than a quote in the paper that he advocated to get him paid and have him brought back, which he, of course, ultimately was. So, I can tell you that within the Mets clubhouse, everything I heard was it wasn't seen as controversial because they understood bat and they like Juan. That's the inside view, but I could see how someone might see it differently. So I'm interested in what you have to say.
Well, I think, and still, you know, the context is so important when we're talking about stuff like this. Mm-hmm. It goes without saying, I think at this stage of the game, it goes without saying that Aaron Judge is that North Star of hitters in today's game. He's the Barry Bonds of my generation. Okay.
Yep.
So no one's ever going to take it as a slight if you have to play second fiddle to Barry Bonds. It's almost mm-hmm. a compliment, like, wow, I'm second. He was that great. I think what Aaron Judge is doing right now, I don't know if it's Bonds level, but it's close. I mean, he is, and I watch him time and time again, and I'm more impressed, you know, not only for what he's, for how he handles himself, it's kind of a Jeter-esque the way he handles himself, but the way he, his at bats when, you know, and he'll have his times throughout the season where he'll get lost there for a week.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But when he's seeing the ball, like Aaron Judge sees the ball, it seems like he slows the game down more than anybody else. His takes and the way that he sees the ball, he spits on nasty pitches just off the plate. It's next level stuff. Nobody else in the game I see sees the ball as well as Aaron Judge. So it's never going to be a slight, even to Pete Alonso, who's off to an MVP start.
Let's be honest.
It's never going to be a slight to play second fiddle to an Aaron Judge. That being said, it's all context. It's how it was said. Alonso might have been within shouting distance, and they may have a relationship. And Soto could have said, yeah, if I had Aaron Judge here, Alonso, wink, wink, nod, nod. It could have been as simple as that. I don't see it being a problem in the clubhouse. The bottom line is this, and one of the most over, you hear it all the time from fans, from people about, oh, it would be great to hit in front of him because you'll get all fastballs. That's the biggest misnomer in the history of sports.
Right.
I remember when I came to the big leagues and I had never hit second before. And they hit me second in front of Junior, Kenny. Hmm. They said, oh, it must be great hitting second in front of Kenny because you're going to get fastball. Yeah, just because I'm hitting there, I'm going to get fastballs down the middle. Well, this is the big leagues, and I'll tell you what, they're going to go to what they're going to get me out with. So if that takes a 2-0 slider, big leaguers can throw 2-0 sliders for strikes.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the biggest misnomers in sports is who's hitting behind you. Now, mm-hmm. when it comes to intentional walks, absolutely. And if you're a Juan Soto and what you did last year and how you commanded the batter's box, my opinion, what I saw last postseason was mm-hmm. there was Juan Soto and there was everybody else as far as owning that stretch. He was a standout for me offensively in the postseason mm-hmm. with all the great players. I think Juan Soto really stood out. And I think that's a big reason he got the money he got.
No doubt.
But other than the intentional walks, which you just signed for $750 million. It's kind of mm-hmm. like nobody wants to hear a sob story or an excuse. And from the context you're telling me, it wasn't really an excuse. It was just kind of, no, it's a little different when Aaron Judge isn't behind you, which to me as a teammate, I would sit there and go, you're right. There is no other Aaron Judge.
Right.
It's really not a big deal. It's not important what we think. Or our opinion or talk radio's opinion. It's important what his teammates in that locker room right now think. And as long as Pete Alonso and those guys are cool with it, nobody really cares. And I sloughed it off like it's really not a big deal because it was probably said in a way where Pete understands that's all that matters. And we can make a big story about it and say this and give our opinions about that. The bottom line is who cares? As long as Pete Alonso's not pissed off about it and his teammates are cool with it, this goes forward. The only thing I can think that would be funny, let's just say I said something like that off the cuff.
Mm-hmm.
For the next probably couple weeks walking around the locker room, every time I had if I had a rough game 0-4, I'd probably be getting my going into the training room the next day and some relief pitchers would go, Booney, man, it would have been a lot better if you were on so such and such team and have him hitting behind
you.
That's all I would say he lended himself to with some jabs from his teammates for the next couple weeks. But that being said, with the start they're off to, I don't see this. I just wanted to get that from you because you're going to hear the real story and who asked it and how it was answered. So they're winning.
And they weren't upset, Brett, just like you said, just to put a bow on this. When the Mets came back into town later in the week, I talking to the coaches, talking to players, talking to Carlos Mendoza, it was like this wasn't that big a story in Minnesota. It played big in New York with talk radio and, you know, all the noise that I'm part of in New York. It, you know, it's the, that whole machine. But when the Mets were playing out in Minnesota that week, and it just wasn't that big of a topic for them. So your read on it, your feel for it is absolutely how it played out.
Yeah. That being said, do you see a difference? Is he the same guy was a year ago that you interacted with when he was a Yankee, just changing venues over the Mets?
Interacting with him is great still, and maybe even a little better because he's seems to understand his responsibility to be even more of a guy in that sense. I mean, Soto's a very pleasant young man, right? And he's young is the key here. Like, this is a kid. Like, he goofs around with other young players, particularly other young Dominican players who he's really comfortable with, but everybody really analytical and accessible for a superstar. His level of fame and skill, he's unbelievably accessible. He sits in his locker. You walk up to him. You have a question. He's great. So from that standpoint, I'd say he's the same, if not better, this year as he's a year older. And like I said, more the guy with the Mets. I will say, though, that there's a difference in how he's played so far over this. We're talking the morning after the Mets just finished a four-game sweep of the Cardinals. Soto's picking it up a little over the weekend. But prior to that...
Got three hits.
Yesterday. Yeah, yeah. So it's getting better. Prior to that, there's no doubt that he was chasing some pitches out of the zone that we didn't see him chase with the Yankees. It's hard to get inside a guy's head, but it had the appearance of a human being feeling like maybe there's a bit of a $765 million target on his back. Yeah. I think he loved the Yankees, and Mets fans don't want to hear that. And that was part of why this became a big deal last week, because it tapped into that. And what I was arguing was two things can be true. Like, take it out of baseball for a second. A guy can absolutely love his job and love his coworkers, but he can make a difficult decision. It was a close decision to leave for another job and still miss the old coworkers, but at the same time, not regret it or anything that strong and be settling in nicely over time with a new place. So that's what's going on. He loved playing for your brother very, very much. And he was really comfortable under that Aaron Judge leadership strategy. Because when he got there to the Yankees, Judge said, you don't have to be the guy. We got MVP, Cy Young, batting champ. Just be Juan and play. That's it. Just play. And even though it was a walk year, he didn't play with a lot of pressure because Judge was like, just be Juan. And that's who he is. He's not... Personality-wise, he's not Judge, he's not Lindor, where he wants to step up and be that outspoken guy. For someone who's that as great as he is a baseball player, I don't think he really has an interest in fame or attention that much. He just wants to play. He's like a hitting savant. And so that really worked with the Yankees. He was able to blend in a little, and they rode that dynamic all the way to the World Series. With the Mets, he's lucky that he has Lindor, because Lindor wants to be that guy too, like Judge does. But he's finding it a little harder to blend in because who he is, the contract. Mets fans are so happy he chose them that they want to look at him and have all the attention on him. So there's no doubt that that's been an adjustment for him. He wasn't doing the shuffle for a while. And they noticed it on the bench. Like, he's not doing a shuffle. So it's like, is he playing with a little less joy? These are the questions the Mets people were kind of wondering. But the root of this truth, Brett, is that he's just adjusting and a good guy, and it's trending in the right direction. But he's a human being, right? And it's a different environment.
Well, it's funny, the shuffle, okay, and that's his thing. I found this so much as a hitter, and when I was rolling, I didn't have to do much. It was a look. It was eye contact with the pitcher, like, you better be careful, but you already know you better be careful. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, Andy, the flip side of that is when I was scuffling and wasn't picking up the ball, or I was just having one of those, I was in a funk. I'd stand on deck and think through my mind, okay, how can I mentally give off an appearance that everything's great and I'm going to kick your ass? And I tried. Should I change my body language? Have more of a confident walk? And I found that the majority of the time, I couldn't fake it. I would try to have this presence, like, you better not mess with me. I'd get in the box, and that look that I'd give the pitcher, or would catch eyes, when I wasn't feeling it, he could tell I wasn't feeling it.
Yeah, right.
It's almost like we'd catch eyes and like, hey, I know you're scuffling right now. Right? Yeah. Right. I know it. Mm-hmm. You know it. If you get a hit here, it's going to be a miracle. Mm-hmm. And it's something you can't fake. I watched Juan a year ago. And man, when he started shuffling and he gave you that genuine, some people call it cocky. Some people call it confidence off the chart. But I'll tell you what, when he was really revving up that shuffle, you're in trouble. You better not miss. And more times than not, how many times do we see him get a big hit or hit a big home run? If you do the shuffle all the time and you're scuffling, well, it's going to lose kind of its luster. Like, who cares if he does the shuffle? He's making outs all the time. When you start shuffling, that's kind of him telling you, I'm seeing these pitches really well.
Great point.
And that's my, I haven't watched him that much this year, but that's my take on it. I saw him in San Diego 2 years ago where he figured it out, and he ended up having a really good year before he got traded to the Yankees. But early in the season, check that out. He was really having a tough time, and people were talking about giving him a blow and sitting him down. And I remember him saying, I don't want a day off. I hit my way through this. And there was a lot made of it early in the season. He ended up having an all-star caliber year. Mm-hmm. Not the year that he had last year with the Yankees, but I've seen him go through this before. So if you're worried about Juan Soto turning from this great player into a mediocre hitter, that's not going to happen.
No,
he's off to a slow start, but he's, at the end of the day, he might not have the year he had a year ago, but the numbers are going to be somewhat where I usually find that with great players, you're going to go through ebbs and flows. At the end of the year, you're going to flip over that bubblegum card. Some years you're going to be on the high end of the bubble card. Some years you're going to be on the low end. And then most of the time you're kind of going to be somewhere right in the middle. And at the end, he's going to be somewhere in the middle. So I don't worry about him long term. The 760 and what might be affecting him right now, you're not human if it doesn't affect you. Mm-hmm. A year ago, he handled everything great. He handled the media great in New York. He handled the whole situation great. I've commended him many times for the way he handled the Yankee fans and his teammates. He was always, hey, I love it here. But he always reserved the right to let everybody else bid. He made a choice. I wasn't mad at him. I don't think anybody's really mad at him. Going, no, he felt most comfortable playing for the Mets because at the end there was a lot of, I think the money was similar in a lot of ways. Yeah. He just felt for him, and he earned that. He turned down $400 million with the Washington Nationals. Mm-hmm. You get to a point, and probably one time in your life, where you're going to be a free agent, and if you're in the right place at the right time, which a year ago he was, and you and your agent come in and take advantage of that, I've got no problem with that. So the only thing is, you've got to expect as a player, when you sign a contract like that, a lot comes with that. And you're expected to be accountable, and you need to get up, and you need to be have something to say, good, bad, and different. I think you owe that to the fans when you sign that kind of contract. And I used to say it all the time. I said, if you don't want to be accountable, be a utility player.
Right.
Make the league minimum, and no one will ask you to do an interview after the game. You want to be the highest paid player in the world? Well, there's something that comes with that.
Yeah, and
that's a part of it. And you know what you're signing up for.
For sure, and he's been great with that so far. Like I was saying before, he's available, he's accountable, he's stand up. I'd say so if I could try to summarize like the difference in his like personality so far the best I could. It's just more if you look at Lindor and Judge, these guys that are actively like not out of ego but out of leadership, like come to me, talk to me, make me the guy. I want to be the lightning rod for this clubhouse. Those are the guys that speak up in the meetings privately, the guys who take the bullet with the media when no one else wants to talk. That Lindor is not technically the captain, but it's that captain type leadership. And Soto, while he's accountable, just doesn't want to be quite he's just a more introverted person who's really like thinks about hitting all the time. So that's the difference in the personalities. But you're right. The money means that there's going to be more attention on you. And I think he's adjusting to that a little. But what he has on his side is that he's not like he gets it. He's trying. I've seen Mets PR be like, already, can you talk after a bad game? And Mon's like, okay. So he does get that part of it.
Yeah. And it helps his team's off to a great start. And you're top of your division. And I always say this, I always throw this in, but I'm a huge fan of Mendoza. And I think
he did
a great job. You know, he got to play for Aaron. Now he's.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, I'm Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. And this is our biggest sale ever. Buy a new air conditioner or furnace and get 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Plus, Four Seasons guarantees to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000, guaranteed. Call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Plan for Mendo. I think it's interchangeable. Both really good dudes and like-minded and work together
very
for
much.
Years and years. All right. Well, let's get into the Mets. I've got to be honest. Going into the season, I don't have the Mets on my scorecard for that division. I'm thinking, you know, the Montas and the Manaea, who both haven't pitched yet. With all the offseason moves the Mets made, I was thinking they didn't do enough with their pitching staff. And they can't pitch enough in that division to beat the Phillies and the Atlanta Braves. Everybody knows how the Atlanta Braves started, as bad as you can. Yeah. They're coming, though, if you watch them. They're starting to come, and Acuna's coming back soon. Strider has only made one start. But that's going to be a real formidable team, and they're going to be a part of that race down the stretch. Mm-hmm. But I'll be the first to admit, I didn't expect this. The Mets, as of today, they got the lowest ERA, not only in the National League, but in baseball. And a lot of that is surprising me. Let's start with that team first. Alonso off to an unbelievable start after that winter. I thought all along, sometimes it's better to just come home. Alonso came home to New York. Where they love him. And sometimes that's good for the soul. And he's off to a great start. But let's talk about offense, what you're seeing right now and what's making them the team they are right now.
I think one of the things that's so impressive about their offense and promising about their offense is that they're scoring runs and winning games without a lot of guys really firing yet. Alonso's put them on his back, obviously, like a great player can do. And he's been unbelievable, like you said. And definitely to your point about coming home, he just seems as comfortable and happy and in as good a place as I've seen him in years. So that's all working right now, and that's great. But Vientos hasn't been hitting much. I mean, he's starting to come around, but overall the numbers aren't there yet. Francisco Alvarez hasn't even played yet. He's been hurt. Nimmo really is starting to come around, but that's a guy in the middle of the lineup that really hasn't been off to the start that he wanted. And Lindor's been a little up and down. He's had some big hits, but he's also says he's not really that close to where he wants to be overall. So the fact that they're leading the division and winning games, like I said, and Soto obviously not firing just yet the way he can. So that shows that they've got enough like diversity within the lineup and different looks and different approaches, and they're pitching well enough, like you said, where they can win games without having that kind of offense that bludgeons you. In spring training, there was some talk about, do they have one of the best lineup in baseball, them or the Dodgers? I thought that was probably a little overstated because there's some things that have to go right, like Vientos has to avoid the sophomore slump and things like that. Alvarez has to finally come into his own. So I don't know that they're a top offense, but it definitely seems like it's going to be good enough.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think of them as in the Dodger category offensively. Yeah. But as far as a formidable offense, absolutely. But if you want to talk about offense, I don't think you have to even look farther than your division. With that Phillies lineup at full steam and that Atlanta lineup at full steam, they're both, I think, as good as the Mets at full steam. That's just my opinion. Sure. And we'll see going down the line. Senga, leading the league in ERA. Obviously, we know the last couple of years what he's been doing. Just haven't been able to stay on the field. But are we getting to see what kind of an inside look at what is possible for Senga at the top of that rotation? They've all been doing great.
Yeah.
Holmes, as much as I haven't seen him pitch that much, seems to be making a pretty good transition from closer to starter. But McGill, Canning coming over from the Angels, Peters, they're all doing their job right now. Talk about that rotation and what it means. And give me a little insight on when we can see. I know Manaea's got that oblique. When we could possibly see him back and when we could see Montas later on in the season.
Yeah, so first on the rotation, I completely agree with you. Just about everyone thought before the season, like, I'm not seeing it on paper. Like, why didn't you get more starting pitching? I don't understand. You signed Soto. Why did you then not go out and get more for your rotation? That was a very logical question. When I put it to Mets people all spring, they'd be like, no, we feel really good about our rotation, like very confident. So trying to dig into why, and you know, one thing that David Stearns and his people in Milwaukee kind of made Stearns' name on, and why he became such a hot GM candidate that the Mets wanted, is they know how to find, and obviously Yankees are really good at this too, find really good pitching where you're not necessarily looking for it in the most obvious places. They know how to say, like, all right, this guy's trending upward for Tampa or for, you know, the Angels or for whoever. Let's take what he's doing and we can then help him get to the next level. Actually, Canning's a really good example. It felt like there's a really good slider there. And frankly, with the Angels, they don't have the most tools. They're not the most up-to-date organization with all the pitching tech and everything. So maybe the Mets are thinking, boy, you take that guy and run him through our pitching lab and we have confidence in our pitching program. I'll bet there's another level we could find with that slider. So that's an example of how they're able to help get the most out of guys. So they've made the right choices so far, other than Montas, who they guaranteed $34 million to him, I believe. He hasn't pitched yet, and it's going to be a while. It was a high-grade lat strain. Montas had that injury history. If there's one choice that the Mets made that you can still scratch your head on a little, maybe it's that one. But overall, they've hit. Stearns has hit on a lot of the pitchers that they've signed so far. And you trust that they're smart enough where if a reliever starts to burn out or if somebody doesn't pitch as well, that they know how to find a guy to replace him and churn through. Like with the Yankees bullpen, you don't know what the names are going to be in the Yankees pen, but you know that that organization is going to find good relievers and that Matt Blake then is going to help get the most out of them. Similar dynamic developing with the Mets. Your question about Manaea, he had a little setback. It's going to be... It was supposed to be late April. It's pushing it into May or June now. And the one thing he did last year to become so good was one of the things was drop his arm angle and throw across his body. So there's been pitching people that have wondered, like, well, gee, maybe when a guy throws differently than he's thrown his whole life, their body's going to feel that. So there's some question about, like, if when he comes back, exactly what – if he's going to be able to continue to use the mechanics that gave him that great year last year. But even without him, like you said, they're pitching great.
I look at where's he going to pitch? Who's he going to replace?
That's a great question.
You know, it's always good, though. In today's game, as much as I joke about it, you know, you need 7, 8, pitchers to weather this 162. It's not like it was 30 years ago where you had five good guys, you felt good. Now you got to have 7-8 guys, because it seems like with the injuries, people, they just drop it. There's more injuries than there used to be. I think it's pure and simple. Look at that bullpen. Yeah. Bullpen seems to be doing great. Are you concerned at all with Diaz?
Yeah.
And how does the rest of the staff look for you in it down that bullpen?
Yeah, it's a good bullpen. Same answer. Like, Stearns is almost at that point where you're like, they'll figure it out over the course of this season. They know that the opening day or the April bullpen is probably not, if they're in the playoffs, the playoff roster is going to look pretty different. That's the way bullpen churn goes. But I do think, a more serious question is Diaz isn't going anywhere, obviously. And yeah, I think because of his history of some inconsistency and because of the way that his command is can't come and gone this year, like it has sometimes when he's scuffled in the past, that it's fair to wonder what you're going to get when Diaz comes into the game sometimes. And that's something, just like the Yankees with Devin Williams, that you go, boy, if you could feel great about your closer right now, the whole thing would feel just a little bit better, even though things are going great. So I think it's fair to put Diaz in that category. He can come out and have a dominant outing anytime, obviously. But the Mets, even in spring, were looking at his command, particularly his fastball command, going, this isn't quite where it's supposed to be. And that has continued so far, on and off.
Well, good. I think this Mets team is really good, but I think it's this Phillies team is really good. As you know,
that's
about as solid as it gets, with the exception of the Dodgers and that Atlanta team. I watched them go 0-7, but I've seen since then, and guys getting healthy. I think Atlanta, even though they're sitting there bottom of the division at 8-13, they're going to be a factor before it's all said and done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com. Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.